Please go ahead. This call is now being recorded.
Thank you. Welcome, GNSO community colleagues and others who may be on the line for this briefing on the FY13 operating plan and budget framework. My name is David Olive. I'm Vice President of Policy Development Support at ICANN, and I'm just taking a few minutes to introduce our CFO and our Comptroller, Xavier Calvez and Juan Ojeda, who are here today to present the framework materials to you. Of course, we encourage you to review them and ask any questions that you may have of them, both now and later, as they will be telling you about it. With that, I would again say thank you for joining us, and I turn it over to Xavier. Xavier, floor is yours.
Good morning and good afternoon and good evening, depending upon where you are. Thank you, David, for the introduction and for helping us setting up these calls and bringing around the table all the participants. We have the slides in front of us. Before we jump in, wanted to make a quick comment and introduction. We would like to ensure that the questions and comments that will be made during this call can be, and the answers to those questions, of course, can be shared publicly as public comments, basically, after this call, so that we help the other members of the community benefit from the questions that have been asked and from the answers that have been provided, assuming that not everyone thinks all the time of the same questions, but people can nonetheless benefit from the answers. Unless any of you would like to keep the comments private to this session, which you can let us know, then we will publish those comments. Having said that, I will jump in the presentation with the only caveat that I will go over the slides. I will not necessarily go in the depth of the slides. This presentation, this call is intended to help all of you get into the information that we are providing in those slides in order to facilitate your further analysis after this call. You may have already, of course, jumped in that information since it's been published, but we wanted to have a call with you all to be able to provide a bit of insight as to the information that is in those slides, enabling you to have a kickstart, a first start at the analysis of this information, as well as asking any questions or making any comments that would help you or us get further into this information. I will comment on the slides, on the method, on certain assumptions, but I will not necessarily go on the details of each slide, which will, I think, allow us to also have a more interactive session, because I would very much like that anyone that has a question at any point of time feel free to ask it right then, and therefore, please interrupt me so that we can have, you know, address the questions when they come in and on the slides that they come in. I'll start. Slide two. I have the control, right, Glenn? Yeah. On slide two and three, we are just providing a quick overview of the part of the budget process in which this framework exercise fits. Just general comment for the little bit of background and setting the stage. Nothing very specific otherwise. We are also indicating on page four that we have taken into account, of course, our strategic plan, though still, I think, in a draft form, the most current strategic plan, 2012 to 2015, has been taken into account, of course, to derive the priorities for 2013 fiscal year and ensure that we have at all times consistency between the activities that we carry out and include in the framework with the strategic plan. We'll talk further about that in the next few slides. Moving on to slide four, this is just an overview and a reminder of the overall budget process at a very high level and letting us see where we fit in this timeline as of today. Unless there are any questions, I will move on to the next slide. Slide five has has an explanation of the ICANN priorities. On slide six, you will see the list of ICANN priorities for 2013 fiscal year. We are just explaining in this slide how we came up with that list, one, and what we're using that list for. And the very basic thought there is that to enable us to check or at all times that the elements, the activities, and therefore the costs associated with those activities that are included in the framework fit at all times with the ICANN mission and its strategic objectives, we have developed this list of priorities for 2013. That is a bridge between the very basic budget for 2013 and the strategic objectives, which, as we just discussed, are set for a three-year period. So the 2013 priorities are a tool for us that focuses on 2013 out of our strategic plan and that help us ensure consistency with our strategic plan. They've been developed by with input by the staff, but with input from the community in Dakar, with input from the management team, and certainly is an element of information that we are expecting to receive comments and questions on, and as part of the comments, also suggestions of priorities to be added potentially or reformulated, or you can also, of course, determine that some of these priorities may not be priorities in your views, but any comment on this slide would be welcome, and we're expecting on to get from you guys input at, on this list of priorities that you can see on page six. I will not go over the details of these priorities. I will let you read them at a quiet time and come back to us.
Ashley Zellier, it's Marilyn. Thank you again for the opportunity to comment. Might I ask a question here?
Sure, please.
So these are what I would call headline news. Behind each of these, is there a more detailed description?
Not particularly. We have not tried to formulate further in detail these specific subjects. I think that, in reference to the strategic plan, we wanted to have a focus of the strategic plan for the year 2013. The next level of detail behind these headings are the activities or the specific projects of the budget. And let me ask you, would there be on your end a type of information across these headlines that you would like to get in order to be able to understand them better?
Yes, and I'll give you two examples. There's number 13, which says evolve ICANN meetings. the BC and others organize various events to outreach to their community, the ALAS, the GAC, et cetera. Evolving ICANN meetings could be, don't take offense to this, but the staff is really tired of three meetings a year, and so is the board, but the community needs three meetings a year, or seven. I'm exaggerating.
Right.
So evolving ICANN meetings could be anything from taking more input from the community on the scheduling associated with the meetings to negotiating better rates than we received in certain settings to making sure that the majority of the participants can be in one or two central hotels to the substance needs to change.
Right. I agree. And so this is exactly the type of subjects that we are expecting fit under that priority, but exactly for that purpose of ensuring that we open and cover all the subjects, we have not tried to define and limit the scope of this priority. This is a priority. This is not an action plan, right? So anything that we think across the various departments of the staff and the various community members that have input on the subject that we think contributes to that thinking because we think it's needed, because there's an evolution in the number of participants, for example, or we want to evolve or to add language services at the ICANN meetings, or we want to change the logistics. Everything that you mentioned fits under that heading, but it's a heading. It's not meant to be an action plan with an exhaustive, a defined scope of actions. It's only a focus, a direction, as a result of which everything that you mentioned, and I'm sure other aspects of the meetings as well, fit under that heading and should be considered as an element that contributes to this subject in the framework. Now, so we are not intending to narrow down the subject. I think that this evolving the meeting as the structure of the meetings is a subject that has come up across various conversations in the past and fairly consistently. And we should, by the way, look at that on a fairly regular basis, evolving our meetings without change, you know, reinventing the wheel all the time. But we believe and we have perceived that this was needed by the community and also with input from the staff. So the subject is out there and helps the fact that it's spelled out as a priority helps generating ideas and actions as to addressing that subject. But at this stage, the point is this has become a priority. We're not trying to say now the priority is to focus on logistics or to focus on location or to focus on content or on structure. This is not what we are intending these priorities to be. You see what I'm saying?
Xavier, this is Steve Metalitz. Could I get in the queue, please?
Sure, please. Marilyn, am I addressing your question, at least clarifying what we are trying to do with these priorities?
Yeah, Xavier, you addressed you confirmed that this is headline news.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure, and maybe I'll wait for Steve's comments. I think my challenge is within the BC to explain how we fill in our part of the rest of the copy, so to speak.
Well, but it's, yeah, the way I'm looking at it, Marilyn, is that this is not a driver. What I mean by that, these priorities are not necessarily a driver of what is in the budget. It's more a reference framework to ensure that what activities we include in the budget fit with the strategic plan and the translation of that strategic plan for the fiscal year 2013 into priorities. So it's less a driver of what we define fits and finds its way into the budget, rather than a reference framework to check that what we put in the framework fits with our strategic plan. So it's less of a source and more of a reference.
Thank you.
Steve.
Thank you. This is Steve Metalitz. I thought I understood this slide better until your last comment, but let me just ask the question I was going to ask. These are the staff's priorities, right? I mean, they're influenced by the input you got into CAR, and I'm not sure what the operations planning meeting was. I assume that was a staff meeting, right? So these are the staff's priorities, and my question is, how does this get translated into the organization's priorities? I guess the best way to ask that is, if the community tells you that these are the right priorities, or if it suggests changes, is it your recommendation that the board adopt these as the priorities for ICANN activities in the fiscal year 13?
Okay, let me try to analyze your questions, because to me there are several aspects to it. It's not the staff's priorities. It's meant to be the organization's priorities. And maybe I'm not fully understanding what concept you put behind those words, but from my perspective, this is not meant to be the staff's priorities for the staff. It's meant to be the priorities for ICANN as an organization, which in my views includes the community as well. And I'm not making the difference between a staff and community, honestly. To me, ICANN is a group of people who are working towards the same objective, and the point of this process and this presentation is to, and in my view, the work of the staff is to facilitate the work of the entire community that ICANN is, of staff, board, community, to establish ICANN's mission. So these priorities are the priorities for the organization. The staff has contributed to come up with it, gathering input in a fairly wide manner. And part of this exercise that we are in right now is to obtain input in a more specific and formal manner from the community to make these effectively the priorities of the organization, which is why I wanted to insist on the fact that we are expecting to receive the input on these priorities by the members of the community.
I understand that, and maybe my question wasn't clear. I understand that this is the first – this is now a slide in a presentation by the staff to the community.
Right.
And at some point, you know, this will move on, and my question is, how does – whatever the list of priorities is it your understanding that when the board approves the operating and plan and budget, they will also be approving a set of priorities?
What they approve is the budget. I don't know I'm not sure what it means to approve the priorities.
Well, someone has to decide to state finally. What are the priority activities for the organization in fiscal year 13? I understand this is a first cut at that.
Right.
But
right.
At some point, there will be a final decision, presumably by the board. What I'm trying to understand is, as we give our input into the operating plan and budget, should we be expecting that the board will make a decision, or you will be asking the board to make a decision on what are the priorities, and that this is the provisional list of priorities?
I don't think there will be a very specific and formal decision by the board, other than the fact that these priorities will be listed and included explicitly in the budget presentations. They've been already reviewed by the BFC. As part of being a set of information that is contributing to the budget and will be included in the deliverables that the board will review and will have available, it will ultimately be approved by the board, but not as a specific set of elements or not as a separate step of the process.
Okay, I think that helps answer the question, but I guess my comment would be, if this is going to be useful, there probably does need to be some formal approval of them, so that, for example, in the interest of accountability, we can look back on June 30th, 2013, and say, these were the priorities. Number four, let's assume this were the final list. Number four is build on contractual compliance. What was done? How do we evaluate the performance of the organization in advancing that priority? I think you need to have some type of formal approval of these. Otherwise, they're just a wish list and there's no accountability. So that's my comment on this. Thank you.
Understood. Thank you. And I think we need to take that and try to think through how to ensure that how to formalize that process. I was going to say that part of what we're doing today is actually trying to contribute to ensure that this accountability and responsibility is shared and communicated and transparent. I think so. This is exactly what we're trying to do today, and will continue to do throughout the budget process. But I think from what you are saying, I think that unless I'm mistaken, in with my limited view and perspective on the history of the budget process, there's probably an element board approval related to the framework that the staff builds the budget with that need to be set. A check on, I would say, at the end, after the fact, that these priorities are being fulfilled. As you can see, these are priorities. They're not necessarily objectives, right? To actually check what's been accomplished, you actually need to refer to objectives rather than just a subject that's been acted upon. So the accountability, to me, cannot be just checked against that list. It needs to be checked against what activities and objectives have been set out to be accomplished in the given year to make progress against those priorities and see if those have been effectively achieved. Because there's no objective in that list on page six. There's a subject. There's not a target point.
Thank you.
This is Ken Stubbs. I have a question and a follow-up.
And then I'd like to get in the queue for a follow-up as well. It's Marilyn.
Ken, do you want to go now?
Yeah, I'd like to go now if I could, please. I have a couple of comments, but first of all, I need follow-up on something that Steve said. I think, first of all, you've got to remember that a budget is nothing but a quantified plan of action. You take the plans that you're planning on implementing and you put numbers on these plans. And I have trouble understanding why you wouldn't want to stratify these priorities and determine how ICANN views these, how the board views them, how the community views them. I'm a little concerned because the placement on the list is not necessarily reflective of the concerns the community has. I noticed number 11, law enforcement support, way down at the bottom, and that may be just because it got put there. But I do think that it's incumbent on you to get back as part of the planning process, stratify the priorities, and get the board approval on the plan for dealing with these priorities. So that's the first comment I have to make. And I'll ask you to respond after I get done here. The second comment I have to make is the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is this. whether anybody wants to admit it or wants to show it, whatever, there's a very high probability but by the end of 2013 that ICANN's going to be sitting on somewhere between $175 million and $250 million worth of funds. Number one, I'd like to find out what they're going to be doing with this. I mean, I understand the concept of a rainy day fund, but, you know, there's rainy day and then there's the end of the earth, number one. Number two, for the last 3 years, I've been asking ICANN to develop some sort of a clarity around the idea of dealing with the proceeds of auction funds that will be coming in, and all I get is a blank stare, deer in the headlights. Nobody ever follows up on it, and if it's in here, I deeply apologize for bringing the point up where if you resolve this. But when you're talking about as much money as we're talking about dealing with, we need to be looking at this from an entirely different process than we have in the past, because, if, you know, this is... I'm going to start calling people hypocrites if we hear people pleading poverty and we can't put this in the budget. We don't have the resources for that because nobody can explain why not, you know. And so I understand that I've thrown a couple of big softballs at you here, but the first thing I think you need to do is to address dealing with these priorities. And secondly, you guys need to be more transparent on what you're going to be doing with all this money you're sitting on. Because you know it as well as I know it. You can use 500 names in your models and stuff like that. But in the long run, you guys are going to end up with a huge amount of resources. So thank you for hearing me out.
So let me try to address first your point about the priorities. The strategic objectives is a process that, if I understand correctly, and I may not have a full view of what that process includes, but the definition of the strategic objectives is a process in itself that includes community input, public comment, validation by the board, by several committees of the board, sorry, and I think that it also includes a vote from the board. The priorities that are there are not anything else than a subset of the strategic objectives. So I'm afraid we're putting a little bit more emphasis than we should on what these priorities are, though I think it's relevant to ensure that the board does agree with what those priorities are. So far, with the reviews from the BFC, we have had a certain amount of input from the BFC members on those priorities. But these priorities is we're not just taking that list and putting three things in front of it, and that becomes the budget. Right. This is a side element. I could have put that in the appendices, honestly, to just indicate that we are using a tool which is priorities to ensure the consistency with the strategic plan. So I think all of what you guys have said makes sense. I think it's probably worth to have probably a little bit more formal process around the communication surrounding these priorities as it relates to the communication with the board. But I would emphasize that there's nothing new in there for anyone. And these are derived from the strategic plan, which, again, has a board review pre-publication for public comment, after publication for public comment. And the strategic objectives are absolutely not anything that happens in a vacuum. So I just wanted to emphasize this, but we will. I have taken the note, and I think we'll need to find a way to probably early in the process have a more formal review of these priorities by the board. I don't know how much a formal vote needs to be done, but I don't think that's necessarily your point. I think your point is more about ensuring that the board agrees with what those priorities are, rather than what the type of validation is. So I will take a note of that and try to formalize a process for that. Hold on a second, please. Sorry. Sorry about that.
I'll follow up to your comments when you get done, please.
Thank you. Then I think I suspect that your second comment and subject is relative to the new GTLD program. Is that correct?
Well, let's put it this way. Would you like to tell me today about how much money you are sitting on in your banks and investments? I think it's north of $50 million. And what I'm really saying is you're going to end up with a hell of a lot of money as a result of these programs. It's not relevant to the program. It's relevant to how ICANN proposes to deal with a significant amount of capital that they're going to be bringing into their process in the future. So you can call it about TLDs. To me, it's more about, what are you going to do with all that money? Are you going to give the community the opportunity to take a close look at that? I fully understand that ICANN has concerns about ensuring that they have adequate resources on hand to manage issues and crises that could come up in the future. But at this point in time, you guys have elected to just ignore it. It boils back down to what you're talking about here, and that is, what we end up with, unfortunately, is a process where the staff gets together, they talk with the business, with the community, with the committee, the board governor, the board business committee, those people over there, they prepare a plan and a report, they send it out to the community, and they say, well, here it is, what do you think of it? Instead of getting started early on and getting the community involved, getting the constituencies together and giving the community a chance to sit down and work with you on establishing priorities. Because let's put it this way, I'm not being harsh or cynical. You guys work for us. You work for the organization, but we are the organization. And frankly, you need to get us involved earlier on in this process. Now, I'm only speaking for myself personally, but I'm speaking, and there are people on this call, I'm speaking with almost 14 years worth of experience of dealing with ICANN. So for what it's worth, that's it.
So let me suggest two things. I will try to provide a very short answer to your comments. And second, I will also suggest that we address this, a number of the elements of what you're saying separately, because this is absolutely not the subject of this call, and I don't want to continue deriving this call into something that it's not supposed to be so that we actually achieve the objective that we set. Having said that, I would like to make sure we can, or at least I can, have a chance to address and understand better what you're talking about. I will only make two comments and then suggest maybe if we can schedule a call together, if you would agree, that would be helpful to me, and I would like to be able to do that, and I would ask if you would agree, if I would ask Glenn to contact you so that we can schedule a call together, because I would like to make sure we can have a discussion on what you just said. Would that be agreeable to you?
Yes, but I don't want you just talking to me. I think what you really need to do, and I can't speak for the chairs or for the other constituencies, but I think what you need to do is to get the key people, speakers for the constituencies on a call, discuss this process with them, and make sure that you guys are heading down a road that they are comfortable with and that they can support. There's no reason to take this thing another 60 or 90 days down the road, only to discover that the community is up in arms because there were certain things in the process that they felt they were either disenfranchised with or just not really given the opportunity to participate.
But this is why I think we need to have a discussion, because there's a number of elements that I'm not understanding in your points, and I think that
requires
clarity.
And that's the reason why I'm more than willing to talk to you, but I think I shouldn't be the only person on the call with you guys. That's all.
Okay, understood. So I will take this subject with Glenn and David. I still believe that there is a need for clarification, because I think there's inaccuracies in what you said, and there are things that I don't understand in what you said. So I would like to have this conversation, then to take it so that we can also from there be able to take it to a different set of audience and people, to your point. But there are elements that I don't understand in what you mentioned. And, of course, with the 4 months of history of ICANN that I have versus your 13 years, of course, that's not surprising. Now, I would like to get back to the call and the subject that we have at hand. And I will move on from the priorities with the notes that we have taken.
Is that the action, Marilyn? I had asked for
yes.
A comment.
Yes.
Let me support, I think, the intent of what Ken was saying and try to make sure that we understand it is about the process that
right.
You're putting before us. So let me just say, as the chair of one of the constituencies, others are on the call, Tony and Steve and representatives from the other. I think we could have a further informed discussion. Happy to have Glenn and Janice work with us to set that up. But I'd like to kind of give an example of what I resonated to, and then we could move on, if that's okay. Just one example?
Please.
I think when we look at what I called the headline news, and I just used that term, but number two, launch new GTLD program.
Mm-hmm.
I would expect the staff to have presented to us something that was more like launch new GTLD program with integrity and limited negative impact to the security and stability of the Internet. And I think what you might be hearing from some of us is we're afraid that since we don't know what goes behind whatever the staff has written or is proposing, behind the rest of these 13 items, we're concerned that because there's not robust participation and dialogue, and I applaud the fact you're doing these webinars, but I will support a comment that I think Ken made. For a number of years, there was a face-to-face meeting, and I think in addition to the remote participation, I think ICANN should get back to having a face-to-face meeting on the Friday before ICANN or the Friday afternoon afterward, and put everybody in a room, and all of the cross-messaging gets dealt with in a single space, because I kind of feel like the staff is being disadvantaged by having pillars of input. We could then give you a better support to what those headlines are and take advantage of the understanding of people who've been around for a while and newbies, if I could just say it that way.
Okay. I suggest we have this note and this comment. Thank you, Marilyn, and I will also circle back with you, because I think there's a bit of clarity that I need on the subject, and also against my understanding of the consultation that has effectively happened in the car, that seems to not be addressing what you're saying, because I'm hearing the request for discussions in meetings that I thought had happened in the car, one of which I was making myself. So I'm confused a little bit on the process, but I'm sure this is due to my lack of perspective and history to the subject. So I will, to Chuck's point, I suggest that we organize a separate call with a number of you, and maybe we'll just ask Marilyn and Ken to suggest a few participants to try to narrow down and explain further this subject. I will make very quickly the two comments that I was intending to make on a question or a comment from Ken relative to the funds that ICANN is sitting on. ICANN is sitting on about a bit less than $50 million of reserve fund, which, if I understand correctly, is required by the bylaws and is not even yet at the level that it's supposed to be as per the bylaws. I won't discuss it further. I didn't write the bylaws. But then the $175 to $250 million of funds, I have absolutely no clue what this is about. And there's no such thing. So that's why I was assuming that you were referring to the new GTLD program, because only that type of magnitude of funds could be potentially created by the new GTLD program, depending upon the number of applications that there will be by April 12th. And those funds are the $185K of application fees, as I suppose you probably know, is an at-cost estimation of the fees, and the costs will be there. So there won't be anywhere close to that type of funds to just decide what we're going to do with it. These will be spent to process the applications and to cover the risks. And dependent on the number of applications, there may be an excess due to the fact that some of the costs to be covered are fixed costs, and therefore, if there is a multiple of a number of applications that exceeds covering those fixed costs, there may be a leftover. But it's not a treasure chest. And I'm happy to have a further discussion on the subject, and I'll move on from this subject right now. The next slide is presenting the on slide 7, these priorities that we just discussed, allocated by the four strategic pillars of the strategic plan that we have referenced further in the presentation. We've had one comment in a previous call to suggest that we also indicate within those four pillars which activity, because there are activities at the next level of detail of those four pillars, which activity does the priority for 2013 refer to? Basically matching these priorities to the next level of detail of the strategic plan, which is something that we're working on, and we will share that information across all organizations once it will be finalized. The next slide on page 8 is a very high-level overview of the budget by by the very basic, I would say, types of activity without necessarily going into the details. The only comment that I will make at this stage is that the core operations costs that appear there include all of the staff costs, even though, of course, on a recurring basis, a certain amount of the staff's time is spent on special project. But the costs are that appear for special projects basically exclude any staff's costs, with the only exception of projects of staff that is entirely and permanently dedicated to a given project. So I will only make a comment on that at this stage, and we'll move on to the next slide, which is just a presentation of the same information with numbers compared to the 2012 budget. Again, I will move on to the point of trying to finish as much as possible on time. I will continue going through the slides and expect that you will stop me with questions, and of course that any questions that pertain more to analysis or comments on the substance, we're expecting to get over the next few days. Sorry, the slide 10 is trying to address is just giving an overview of the what is included in the core operations, as well as the slide 11. And of course, again, comments on there will be useful. But I suppose that the comments that are relevant will be made as part of the feedback they will receive. Over the next few slides, until slide 20, we are providing an overview on the strategic projects that on the list of strategic projects that we are currently seeing for the horizon of 2013, based on a certain amount of input gathered from the community, from the staff, and from those strategic objectives. Just to explain a little bit how this slide works, is on the left blue column, you can see the list of projects for 2012 that have been approved as part of the 2012 budget. The upper part in white corresponds to the projects that we are expecting to be closed or completed by the end of the fiscal year. And the lower end, shaded in light blue, are the projects of the fiscal year 2010 that we are expecting to carry over in 2013. You find then that specific list of projects highlighted in blue on the bottom left, going to the upper right as part of the list of 2013 projects that, for the carryover projects, 2012. So, on the upper left column in red, you see the projects from 2012 that carry over. The lower end of the column in red, that's not highlighted, corresponds to the new projects that the list of new projects that have come out of the input that we've received from the department for the purpose of this framework, and that we are suggesting are part of the 2013 budget. So over the next few slides, we will provide a bit more information on these projects.
Xavier, this is Steve Metallitz. Could I ask a question here?
Sure, please. Sorry, I didn't see your hand raised, Steve.
Okay, it was. I guess my question was, and maybe the next, I don't know if the next slide answers it or not, but when I see these projects that are existing and that are proposed, I think this is very useful to have this information, but is there a set protocol for reporting on the status of these projects or what's going on these projects, or is it just kind of left up to the community to find out? And the reason I ask, if you look at P1231, which is listed as a continuing project, the president of the organization has told the Assistant Secretary of Commerce, has made some statements about the status of that project, and I'm not sure we've ever heard them before, and I'm not sure how accurate they are. And I'm just wondering, how are we supposed to find out what's going on in these different projects? Is there some set mechanism for whoever's engaged in the project to report publicly on what is happening in each project?
Well, I'm sure you probably have the answer to that question. If there would be, you would know, and you would not have to ask the question, I suppose. So I don't know of a set mechanism existing today to inform publicly of the status of projects as part of the budget. Janice, am I wrong? Is there an existing process to provide public information on the status of the projects?
Hi, Xavier. I'm sorry, I was on mute. And I see that I'm probably causing an echo. I would want to take a look at, from the policy team perspective, I'm not sure I'm the right person to answer this question, though not trying to avoid it. I would assume from the policy team perspective, they have a way that they liaise with the community on the updates for any of these kind of projects, whether it be from the registry, registrar, or one of the constituency or stakeholder groups for their involvement. I think we also take advantage of the three ICANN meetings, certainly to answer those questions, but I think it's worthwhile for me to take that away from this report and make sure that we are doing more timely updates in some manner. So I'll take that away.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So what I suggest to the intent of staying on timing, that we come back to you, Steve, with a more comprehensive answer. But as far as I know, I haven't seen anywhere a formal process of reporting on project status. And if I haven't seen it, maybe it's because it doesn't exist, or maybe it's because I just haven't seen it. But the fact that I haven't seen it and that you're asking the question leads me to think that there's probably nothing of substance or formal that exists on the subject. So I think that's a preliminary answer to your question. And I'm not disputing that part of what we should be able to do is provide that type of information.
Thank you.
Moving on, you will see on the next slide, we have a high-level view of envelope amounts associated to each project. This is a first estimate at this stage for obviously for the new 2013 projects that we have asked the various departments of ICANN to provide views on based on their understanding to date of what the project needs to be or has been formulated to be. And those are usually not hard-coded numbers in very detailed numbers as of yet. This will be for the next step of the budget process. But these envelopes are aimed at trying to provide a little bit of an understanding of the magnitude of the project so that you can at least comment on how much you believe this is consistent with your understanding of what that project is, and you can also react to whether or not that you think it's appropriate. We are in the next, so you can see on this page that the third column has slide numbers. In the subsequent slides from 15 to 20, we're providing on the top 10 list of projects for carryover 2012 and new projects of 2013, we're providing a little bit more color as to what those projects are with a few bullet points, and that's what the slide 15 to 20 are. 20 or 19, I can't remember now anymore. So I will skip through that. Just as an information, sorry, on page 14, you have a list of projects that we have received, are being worked on, and we have a limited amount of information at this stage from a finance standpoint on these projects, but they are being formulated further, and we will update the information as soon as we receive it at the next level of detail. And some of those, since the document has been published, are more precise today than they were 10 days ago, but this document is as of basically January 15th. So the slides 15 to 20, I'm passing through and going directly to the slide 21. And the slide 21 and 22 are relative to the new GTLD application process to be able to set out what are the assumptions that we have formulated for the new GTLD impacts as part of 2013, because those are meaningful enough on the total numbers of the 2013 budget. We thought it was useful to provide an understanding of the new GTLD numbers specifically before jumping in the overall ICANN budget that comprises those new GTLD numbers. There's the various assumptions here. For the sake of shortening the excess of time that we're going to spend on this call, I will only say that we are using, and I'll go directly to slide 22, we're using the same assumption as of today than was used for the sake of the budget in Singapore, which is 500 applications. And I want to point out that, of course, these numbers will be obsolete by the time we publish the detail of the budget, because as it happens on the very same day, May 1st, we will publish the detailed budget draft, and we will also publish then the list of strings that have been applied for during the application process. So this timing inconvenience, to say the least, will lead us to obviously have to change in the final budget the new GTLD-related numbers that contribute to the overall ICANN budget, so as to reflect the actual number of applications that we will know by then we will have received, but that we don't know now. So these numbers are a little bit theoretical from the perspective that they will change unless we have effectively exactly 500 applications, as they will most likely change. And they will be updated also, even if we have 500 applications, we'll have a closer view and closer and more precise view of what those numbers are. The left columns in gray on this, highlighted in gray on this slide, correspond to the estimates that have been produced at the time of the full year 2012 budget approval in Singapore in past June. And the columns on the right in color are they are the current view of the same numbers for both 2012 and 2013. The next slide is showing the assumptions on the new GTLD figures that appear on the preceding slide. Any questions at this stage? So, the...
Xavier?
Yes.
It's Marilyn. I was on the call yesterday, and I appreciate the comments you made that explained the revenue flow. I don't want to go into this right now, but I would like to come back to a comment that I think supports something, an issue that Ken Stubbs raised that's very much on my mind, and that is ensuring that ICANN does not put its not-for-profit status at risk.
Right.
That is a high priority to me personally, given my role in helping to create ICANN, but I think it's a high priority to my constituency. So not to dwell on that right now, but at the end of the call, when we come back and talk about the revenue flow issues, I would like to just park that comment, and if it's not addressable in this meeting, raise it for a further meeting.
Yes, and so what I would suggest, Marilyn, to your point, is that if we don't get a chance, because this is how it looks considering where we are in the timing now, if we don't get a chance to address that specific comment, which I think is probably something that needs to be spent a certain amount of time on, I think we should you should make it as part of your comments on the framework, but then so that we can take it in a separate process. And I don't know if it has to happen before San Jose, or it can happen then. But I think it would be it's something sufficiently significant in terms of discussions and information that we should address it. But I don't think it's a priority or concern only for your constituency. I think it's a concern for everyone within staff or outside of staff or for the entire community. It's a reasonable and logical concern to have basically, by the way, at all times. But there seems to be a notion as per which ICANN is trying to make a lot of money as part of this program, which is entirely wrong. Same format or same convention on this slide, sorry, then on the previous slide 22, the leftmost columns is shaded in gray correspond to the numbers that had been presented at the time of the budget. And the rightmost columns are the current view of the 2013 numbers. And I know it's confusing, but I'm giving that comment because we've had the question before. Don't try to add the year 2012 for the new GTLD to the year 2013 for the new GTLD that appears on those slides, on this specific slide, because those two columns result from estimates produced at different times. So the relevant comparison is on slide 22, and the column, when I stay on slide 24, the column 2013 for the new GTLD comes from the rightmost columns of the slide 22, and the new GTLD 2012 column on this slide 24 comes from the leftmost columns of the slide 22. So the two columns of new GTLD cannot be added together on this slide. Any questions at this stage on this? I'm expecting that all of you will spend much more time on this slide than we are currently, but, again, this is not the purpose of this call at this stage, but I wanted to at least make sure we address any questions that help you go through the further analysis.
This is Steve Metalitz. I just had one question which I had asked last year, and I'd be interested in the answer. So there's a entry here for change in net assets, the far right column of $28 million, and then $25 million of that is put in the risk reserve, I think.
Yes.
So that leaves $3 million. In other words, in my simple way of looking at this, this is the excess over the cost that ICANN is receiving from the new GTLD program, or expects to receive by the end of fiscal year 13. Is that right or wrong, or am I totally misunderstanding this?
It is not correct. It is the excess for the year 2013 of core plus new GTLD impacts. So the rightmost column, just to make sure we're clear on that, is the addition of the third and second rightmost column on this slide, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can see that the new GTLD column on this slide is basically at break-even. The change in net assets is minus 530. So the overall new GTLD program is, to be able to look at it, you need to look at it, and again, we're talking about the applications program only, right? Not the operations of the new GTLD once they will be in place. But the total cost of the new GTLD per application program needs to be looked at over 2 years because there are timing differences generated by this program over the two-year period that make the one-year view always incomplete. Now, we have retained an approach to assume that the revenues relative to the application fees will be recognized in a synchronized manner with the incurrence of the costs, which is a subject that we're describing further in the assumptions and that we will continue to verify with auditors. But for now, we have presented the new GTLD numbers to show a matching of revenues and cost in terms of timing. But in order to understand the net impact of the new GTLD program, you need to go back to slide 22.
I'll do that. Thank you.
Which shows you the overall net effect of the new GTLD program.
Okay. Thank you very much.
No problem. If there's no further question, I will move down. We are providing on slide 25 to 29 from memory a certain number of assumptions that we believe are helpful to understand the level of the costs and revenues that we are, or at least costs, sorry, for these slides until 29, that are included in there. And again, this is at the high level that the framework is. It's not a detailed budget as of yet, of course. We're not there yet. But we expected that it would be useful for the community to know the very basic assumptions that have been retained to produce the numbers on page 24. So we're providing a number of generic elements, then expense trends, and then on slide 28 and 29, a bit more specific comments relative to certain departments' activities that impact, that we expect will impact 2013 budget. I will then go to the revenue section. We are presenting on slide 30 a breakdown of the revenues by type of parties. And there are the assumptions on page 31 and 32 that have led us to these estimated numbers. Maybe we can take, I don't know, we're basically at the end of the presentation without, except any further questions on what I just went over. I would probably like to try to have Marilyn formulate a little bit further the question of the concern on the new, not-for-profit status of ICANN, and maybe leave that as the description of the overall question and concern. I suspect that this is a subject that we would probably need to create a specific process of discussion on, just because I'm concerned that it is a longer process, sorry, a longer discussion than what we can afford in this call. But Marilyn, would you like to frame basically your question and concern?
Certainly. Thank you. I think this is a question, and I've raised it with the board before in my comments individually. So I think the overall question is, ICANN enjoys not-for-profit status in the United States. It's incorporated in California as a and has unique status in its incorporation. I know that because I was very heavily involved in the beginning. we did that on purpose. But ICANN is now going to be generating potentially a significant amount of income that is actually not about its performance of its core functions. Auctions are not about its performance of its core functions, and it's going to be incurring a lot of cost as well if a bunch of the GTLDs fall over, which they undoubtedly will. Over time, that'll be a new thing for the Internet and a new challenge for all of us. But at the same time, moving into a space where ICANN is driving decisions into auctions means that's not a cost-based approach. ICANN's not-for-profit status protects it in a number of ways. I'm not going to dwell a lot on that, but I am just going to say, well, I think my own view is we need to protect that status. And the mechanism of creating a not-for-profit foundation to transfer funds to is not necessarily going to be a total answer to protecting that status. So I think, and I'm not suggesting this budget committee takes it up, but I think it's an important topic to make sure we don't ignore, since if the budget is going to start reflecting also revenues that are being transferred to a not-for-profit foundation, managed by a not-for-profit foundation, there's still going to be some kind of linkage back to the ICANN board and to the ICANN entity. And while this process might not be the place to discuss this, it must be discussed.
Understood. So I think it has been, at the very minimum, touched. I think it has been analyzed. And when I say analyze, I don't mean to say that it's finished, but I know the subject has been dealt with notably by our legal team. So what I suggest, Marilyn, is that I take the action to follow up on that subject, and I will come back to you with a suggestion on how to proceed to address it. Because one way or the other, whether our concerns, which what you're saying, of course you're speaking for yourself and for your constituency, but I think it's just a irrelevant concern. And if there's no concern, then we should all know that there's no concern and be comfortable with it and move on. And if there is a concern, then we should make sure we can address it. So I think your subject, the subject that you're raising, is not your own only. It's everyone's who can think about it. Should potentially have this concern and want to address it. So I will follow up with our legal team to suggest to come back to you with an approach on how to address it, and I would say also how to communicate it, because I think it's been already partially addressed from a legal standpoint, and a tax standpoint, and I think that the question is how to be able to also ensure that we are complete on this analysis and that we, of course, communicate and share it. So I will circle back with the legal team on that.
Thanks.
And come back to you with a suggested approach.
Thank you.
And I see from a comment from Ken that this is a subject that obviously is shared, or a concern that's shared by, as I was just saying, by other people. So is there any further questions? I didn't go over the last slide on the contingency, that anyone is most welcome to ask questions over, and if there is no further specific questions on that or on anything else on this call, we will close it. But is there any other questions?
Xavier, it's Liz Gaster, and I think David Olive had to leave early.
Okay.
But if there are no more questions, I'd like to thank you very much for your time and your presentation today, and also thank the participants on the call very much for your participation, attention, and thoughtful questions and comments. And we as staff will be sure to follow up on the items that you've raised. So thank you all very, very much for your time today.
And I just want to conclude with the fact that there is two subsequent conversations that I think we need to have. There's one with Ken, but to Ken's point, potentially not necessarily only with him, that I would like to make sure we can organize as a follow-up item. And there's the conversation that we just had relative to the not-for-profit status of ICANN as well. So, and there's more follow-ups than that or that have come up through this call, but I wanted to make sure it's all clear for everyone.
Right. Thank you so much. Yes, we've captured, I think, many action items and discussion points, so it's been extremely helpful. And thank you all very much again.
Thank you to everyone. And of course, this is the beginning of the process, not the conclusion of it. So we're expecting to receive further comments in writing by email on this framework. And, of course, I'm available, and the rest of the finance team as well is available also to discuss any subject that you would like to discuss. If it's easier by phone than by email, I'm available. My email address is, I think, probably public by now, but it's xavier.calvez@icann.org. If you want to reach me out and we can schedule a call, that's no problem. So I'm very happy to do that if it's more practical than emailing, which it very often is. Thank you very much to all. Sorry that we've taken a bit longer than planned, but appreciate the time and comments, and we will continue working hard on this and process your comments as they come in. Thank you very much. Have a good day or evening or night, depending upon where you are.